Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. Tonight we'll be looking at the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, or the fifth of the positions in the canons of Dort, the perseverance of the saints. We'll be looking at various texts tonight, but this is the one we'll begin with. John chapter 10, verse 27, and we'll be reading through verse 30. This is God's word. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is God's word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father, we ask that as we study your word tonight, as we look at this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that we as the saints who have gathered here would be encouraged in the persevering power of your desire to save the elect. Hear now our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I think I would pose to us tonight is, can a person who has true faith ever lose that faith? Can a man or woman who has true faith in Christ ever lose that faith? That was the argument for the fifth point of the canons of Dort. And looking at this doctrine, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, there are three positions. And I want to give you a brief definitions of the three positions. The first position is the Arminian position that was later codified in the discussion between the Arminian and the Reformers within the Netherlands. The Arminian position was all who believe and are truly saved can lose their salvation. Sinners can lose their salvation by failing to keep up their faith, by falling into a state of serious sin. That's the Arminian position. There is a third position, the antinomian position, I think one that is actually quite common in general evangelicalism in the United States, known as easy believism, or once saved, always saved. You've probably heard that said. Once saved, always saved. And that's defined as this. All who make a profession of faith are eternally secure, whether or not they keep up their faith. All who make a profession of faith are eternally secure, whether or not they keep up their faith. Once saved, always saved. I came upon that position quite frequently in the West Coast, especially in Washington State, as I worked in the forest. That I would hear pretty consistently within evangelical churches, because generally there were no Reformed churches in the areas I was at, but there were general Bible churches throughout the countryside or in the woods or just outside of the woods that I would attend, just because I was trying to find the fellowship of believers anywhere I could find it, so far away from my home church. The third position is the Reformed position, and I would summarize it like this. All who are chosen by God, redeemed by Christ, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit are eternally saved. See, that's all that God has done, right? Chosen by God, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, are eternally saved. Again, the sovereign grace of God in salvation. They are kept in faith by the power of Almighty God and therefore continue to persevere in faith. They continue to persevere in faith by the power of Almighty God. Now, those are the three positions generally about this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. And I want us to engage Scripture tonight and a couple of the articles of the Canons of Dort as well in this fifth point. But let's go back to the text, back to John, briefly back to John, where Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It appears that Christ's sheep, his authentic followers, hear his voice, as Mary Magdalene, when she heard her name Mary, responded to Jesus, "Rabboni." Rabboni, which is also in the Gospel of John chapter 20. And it's very clear, they follow me. Verse 28, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. No one can snatch them out of the Son's hand, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand." And then Jesus makes this wonderful Trinitarian statement, "I and the Father are one." The reason no one can snatch them out of my hand is because I'm God. And that's why they wanted to kill him. And the reason that no one can be snatched out of their hand is because God has chosen them. So you have Jesus speaking very clearly that no one will be able to be snatched who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a wondrous comfort in the Good Shepherd's words here in John chapter 10. For what we know is that each of us who is gathered here tonight are struggling sinners who are saints. There is not one who came into this building tonight that does not sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all made a mess of it today, most likely. It doesn't take very long when you wake up in the morning to mess it up. And this doctrine is wonderfully comforting to people like me and to people like you. The perseverance of the saints is a glorious comfort to sinners. Because even in our struggles and in our sin, God does not depart his people. And God did not depart Peter, did he? Jesus did not give up on Peter, did he? In fact, if you look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31, this is what Jesus says in the upper room. On the night before Jesus' crucifixion, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus then goes on to say that good old Peter would deny even knowing him 3 times. But already Jesus says that he would be restored man. Even after his great fall, Jesus gives these comforting words, I believe, of sovereign grace, that even Peter in his fall would be restored back into fellowship with Christ. And you remember the restoration, don't you? It wasn't just on the first night in the upper room. It was on that encounter in Galilee. Jesus is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He's got fish already cooking, bread's ready to go. And then he says to the disciples, "Hey, throw your net out." And of course, they had been fishing all night, but they threw it out and they caught such a great number of fish. And of course, the beloved, which was John the Apostle, said, "It is the Lord." And Peter, of course, took his tunic and jumped in the water, leaving the fish behind to be near Christ. And Christ, in that moment, says to Peter, as they gather around, as they drag the 153 fish on the shore, Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "You know that I love you." Three times. And we see a man who fell far restored. If there is a person that personifies the perseverance of the saints as a glorious comfort for sinners, it's got to be Peter. But how many of us have denied Jesus at our workplace, at school? We've done the same thing as Peter. Maybe we've done it more times by saying nothing, because we don't want the ridicule. And yet God chooses to take denying sinners like ourselves and restore us. For those who truly believe, He constantly is calling His saints back to Himself. And it ought to make our hearts sing. In Article 6 of the fifth point of the Canons of Dort says this: "For God, who is rich in mercy, according to the unchangeable purpose of election, does not take the Holy Spirit from His own completely, even when they fall grievously. Neither does God let them fall down so far that they forfeit the grace of adoption and the state of justification, or commit the sin which leads to death, the sin against the Holy Spirit, and plunge themselves, entirely forsaken by God, into eternal ruin. Now those who are called by God, He will not let them go." You know, friends, that ought to encourage us to further obedience, ought it not to? Sinners, saved by grace, preserved by that same grace, ought it not to create in us a greater hunger to obey? Because He doesn't give up on the elect. He won't let you go, even if you soiled your soul. He'll call you back to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He'll call you back from the pigsty. If you're like the prodigal and you're on a journey and you're in the far country, He'll call you back. Because He's a God who walks with His people. And is the Old Testament not a declaration of that reality? A horribly sinful people, stiff-necked and rebellious, and again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Do I have to keep going? Yes! And again, He saves His people. And again, He perseveres with the most infuriating people. It's like my children sometimes. And probably my wife would say it's like my husband sometimes. What a glorious comfort, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And this wondrous grace and love that Jesus has for Peter and for us and for all who are called before the foundations of the earth, sinners through and through, that love will not let me go. And this text, this next one, we read that in the beginning of our worship service, but I want to read the last part again. That question, who will separate us from the love of Christ? That's a wondrous text. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question. That's the question you ought to ask yourself tonight. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Or what shall separate me from the love of Christ? The Apostle Paul goes on, shall trouble? Or hardship? or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. And then he goes on to verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Loved us knowing how sinful we are. Loved us knowing how we would still struggle with sin. And then the apostle says, with all his soul, by the power of the Spirit, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Imagine, nothing can separate the elect from God's love. And is not the cross the declaration of that reality? That God would take on human form, true humanity, and be the sacrifice for sin? Does that not declare he loves you? His hands nailed scarred for you? That he would never lose any of the elect. All that are his will never be lost because of those scars and that side and those feet, that crucifixion to secure your salvation, your justification, which leads to your adoption, which leads to your glorification. And when the trumpet sounds, to your resurrection, which is part of the doctrine of glorification. And so, brothers and sisters, we ask, and I think this is a simple question, we know the answer, how have we come to know the unfailing love of God for us in Christ Jesus? How? Through his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernaturally. And that Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the perseverance of the saint of reaching glory. Now listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of perseverance. The Apostle Paul writes, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What a wondrous encouragement. For all who have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are born again. They're sealed with the mark of the Holy Spirit, the seal that authenticates you and I belong to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in whom you have been baptized. Isn't that a declaration, your baptism, that you and I and all those who are in Christ Jesus belong to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And the reality is living within you, guiding you and preserving you and walking with you. The Spirit of Christ always with you, helping you to hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God and apply the Word of God to your life. Now, this guarantee is not a license to do what you want to do. It is not a license for sin at all. If you look at the rest of the letter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those who are truly born again of the Spirit of God have been truly equipped and fashioned for service, for good works. And the Apostle Paul continues through the letter, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God by your disobedience. with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then a few verses before that, Ephesians chapter 4, 24, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, that seal of the Holy Spirit is a seal not only guaranteeing what is still to come in the wondrous redemption that will be consummated at the coming of Christ, but it also declares that we are to be a holy people, a righteous people, an obedient people who are persevering in faith in Christ. Now, it is interesting for us to know that the brothers at Dordrecht, or Dort, knew there would be objections to this wondrous grace of God. And so they write in Article 24 of the fifth point, they write these words, "And just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace in us by the proclamation of the gospel, so he preserves, continues, and completes his work by the hearing and reading of the gospel, by meditation on it, by its exhortations, threats, and promises, and also by the use of the sacraments." This is important for us to hear. The perseverance of the saints is not simply once saved, always saved. That doctrine really makes no sense. It's gibberish. It's theological gibberish. Because the reality is, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the way you and I continue to persevere in the power of the Holy Spirit, I will emphasize the power of the Holy Spirit, is through what they call the means of grace. Put that in quotations. The means of grace. The first mean of grace that is essential not for only for our coming to faith in Jesus Christ, but also for our sanctification is the gospel. Whether it's heard from the pulpit, read in your Bibles, taught in your Sunday school classes, or your catechisms, it is the gospel which brought you and will preserve you and will bring you to glory by the power of God, by the power of Almighty God working through the Holy Spirit. And the second two means of grace, did you notice that, were the sacraments. Did you hear that? The sacraments. And what are the sacraments a declaration of? The gospel. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are a declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in physical form. And so these reformers were saying to the saints, and this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, those who persevere are those who come regularly to hear the word, are those who hunger and thirst to know God, are those who come regularly to see and witness baptism and to partake of the Lord's Supper together with all the brothers and sisters, because God uses means in order to preserve the saints unto glory, all by his power that runs through all of it. Because we know when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is read, when the gospel is celebrated in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit is on the move. The Holy Spirit works through those signs to proclaim his word, which preserves his people unto the end. And I wanted to make certain we read that, because this is not an easy believism doctrine at all, is it? This perseverance of the saints. No, actually, Christians put holy sweat. That's right, holy sweat into this doctrine. But it begins with God effectually calling us, the irresistible grace, and being born again. It happens by God the Holy Spirit working through his word and the sacraments. It's still all of God, yet in this doctrine we know that holy sweat is required of the saints as we persevere. And not only that, it's proof that you are born again, right? If you love Jesus, right, what you going to be doing? You're going to be reading the Word of God. If you love Jesus, you're going to be doing what he says, or you're going to yearn for what he says. And when you fail, you're going to repent. And actually, you're going to struggle with your sins. And you're going to wonder, how can I have assurance maybe sometimes? Because I see this sin. If you're troubled by your sins in your life, oh, that's some good things going on. That's some wonderful work of the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin, which is, again, a wonderful evidence of the work of the Spirit in you. Praise be to God. Praise be to God that he's revealing your junk. Because when he reveals your junk, which is rebellion, you can repent and turn back to him because of his wondrous grace. Because he loves us so much, he's willing to rebuke us in order to bring us near to his heart, that we might experience his favor, his affections, his unfailing love. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. But if you're not hearing the gospel daily, that nothing can separate me from the love of God, all that's going to grow cold, and you're going to struggle more. Well, let's continue on, because I got a couple more goodies. We'll be really short on the goodies, because there's lots of them. But another doctrine that is part of the perseverance of the saints is Jesus' vigilant intercession for his people. Isn't it? Jesus' vigilant intercession for his people is critical in the perseverance of the saints. Listen to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. Now, there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, they all died, right? It's very clear, they all died. But, because Jesus lives forever, our great high priest, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he lives to intercede for them. It's not only when you come to faith, Jesus is there all the way to the finish line of glory. Until you drop in this life, he's there. Right? Interceding. That's a hallelujah in my opinion. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Don't want to be like a charismatic here, but this is a wonderful doctrine. And it also says, because he always lives to intercede for them. Did you hear that language? He lives to intercede for you. He lives that your joy might be full. He died because he wants your joy to be full. He wants you to have maximum joy in him now and forevermore. That's great. This is wonderful news. And he's doing it right now. He's doing it in your life, even if your life is a mess. Even if you're so filled with fear and anxieties because of what's happening in your family, he's interceding. And he won't stop. He will always intercede for the saints. He lives to intercede for them. God, in this doctrine, declares, I will never let you go. I will never let you go. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is an anchor to the soul. It's an anchor to the soul when our lives are not going like they should. When we're struggling with sin and the temptations just seem never to stop. When conflicts in our marriage or with our children never seem to abate. This doctrine is an anchor to your soul because it calls you back to hear the wondrous gospel in the mess of life. And he'll be there in the mess of life because he came into the mess of Bethlehem and he died in that horrible, gory mess on Calvary. In the darkness, he is with his people. He will never let the elect go. I want to read the last article as we conclude here tonight of the Canons of Dort. Point 5. This teaching about the perseverance of true believers and saints and about their assurance of it. A teaching which God has very rightly revealed in the Word for the glory of His name and for the comfort of the godly, and which God impresses on the hearts of believers, is something which the flesh does not understand. Satan hates, the world ridicules, the ignorant and the hypocrites abuse, and the spirits of error attack. The bride of Christ, on the other hand, has always loved this teaching, very tenderly, and defended it steadfastly as a priceless treasure. And God, against whom no plan can avail and no strength can prevail, will ensure that the church will continue to do this. To this, God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, bless your people. May you shower us with your grace, with this wonderful doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that Christ will intercede for his bride, for the lambs within his sheep pen, and he will never let them go, for nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, well up within us that truth, that reality, so that your people would hunger and thirst and desire more your glory and your will in our lives in this year of 2020. May you bless the saints here as you persevere, as you preserve them unto eternal life, working them mightily by the gospel and by your Spirit and through the intercession of Christ, the glory of you, O Father in heaven. Hear our prayer, we ask. Amen.